Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Monday postcast. I'm Maddie Plough, joined in the studio by Robbie Wilders and James Hill. We have Paul Binfield on the line from Paddy Power. As always, let's look back on what's been a really busy week of action. Plenty of different angles to get our teeth stuck into. Plenty of trials at Chester. Any of those, are they on your classic radar? Let's start off with Sir Dragonet, winner of the Vase then. He impressed a lot of people. Robbie, how impressed were you?
Very much so, yeah. I was quite surprised to see him only sent off 14-1 for his debut in a Tipperary maiden a couple of weeks before. He's taken a massive leap forward from that. It sort of just goes to show that Aidan O'Brien and Ballydore don't really know exactly how these colts are going to progress, because Norway was slightly short in the betting and he somewhat surprised a lot of them, and it makes sense that now he's probably going to be supplemented for the big one at Epsom. So
yeah, and would you be, did you back him after
Chester? No, well, I would have certainly liked to, yeah, but he certainly impressed me, but his price as favourite is around 3-1 would still, I'd have question marks over it. I was slightly, perhaps more impressed by Anthony Van Dyke at Lingfield, but I'm sure we'll move on to that later in the show.
We will indeed. Jimmy, Sir Dragonet, still pretty inexperienced, just have the two runs now, but very impressive.
Very impressive. I mean, we really knew nothing about him going into the race, but he absolutely slaughtered them. I mean, I guess the only thing I would say, the performance was probably a little bit better than it looked, because they might have gone too fast in the conditions. The two horses, him and the second Norway, were held right up. All the horses that were near the pace, like King Otica, faded
stay,
quite badly. He didn't stay, but I mean, there were others as well. Didn't get home, and they were more towards the front. So I mean, look, he would have won whatever the way they'd run it, but probably might not have been as impressive as if it had been a slower run.
Okay, so you think he could have been favoured by the circumstances? Binners, what price are you on Sir Dragonet now? I presume he was popular after you introduced him in the market.
Yeah, that's popular, Maddie. Good afternoon to you. And I'd like to say a special good afternoon to John Davis, an Englishman who lives in Georgia, in the US. He was very complimentary about the postcast in yesterday's Racing Post, although he did mention a few people who appear on them. None of today's participants were mentioned, unfortunately. But alas, yeah.
We'll take Dragonet. All the compliments we can get.
Well, exactly. But Sir Dragonet, yeah, he was 8-1 immediately after the race, Maddie. That was the first show for him. That's proved far too big over the last few days, and he's now 130 for Blue Racing, Black Racing's Blue Ribbon.
We'll go to you, stick with you, Binners, with Medea, who won the Cheshire Oaks. What price is she now for John Gosden? Doesn't she need to be supplemented?
Yeah, she does indeed need to be supplemented, Maddie. We went the same price as Sir Dragonet immediately afterwards, an 8-1 first show, possibly because we weren't sure whether Connections would consider supplementing her. But she is now into 9-2 as well. She has contracted quite hugely, and with Pink Dogwood, the only one in the market favoured above her, as 4-1 favourite.
Okay, were you more impressed with the filly or the colt, Jimmy? Well, we'll get on to the other one, Circus Maximus, in a minute. But
yeah, no, they were both very impressive. I mean, Sir Dragonet won so easily. But no, I was very impressed with Medaille. That form's very good too, because the second horse definitely ran her race. She's rated 99 and she came there to win it. But I mean, the bird had flown. I mean, Medaille was just different gravy. Definitely needs that sort of ground, I think. Once the rain came, she was really well backed. But I don't think she was necessarily the first string before the rain arrived. I mean, Frankie was on the other horse of John Gosden's. And she definitely prefers a bit of cut. If it came up soft at Epsom, she'd have to be on your radar.
Okay, Robbie, is she on your radar?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think she's quite ground dependent in that sense. If it came up soft at Epsom, she'd be on my mind. If it was good ground, I'd be more interested in the 1,000 Guineas win at Hermosa. Full sister of the Hydrangea. I was really impressed with what she did at Newmarket. Guaranteed to stay further. She'd be the way I was looking if it was slightly quicker.
Okay, and what about Circus Maximus then? He looked a little bit more workmanlike, yeah, but as is the case with Aidan O'Brien's horse, they get the job done.
Exactly, nice enough performance. Slightly more take with Mohawk in behind under a £3 penalty. He was quite a good juvenile last season. It'd be interesting to see how those two progress for sure. Yeah, out of the two, Mohawk's a slightly bigger price than the betting, I understand, and I'd have him perhaps as the one to take out the race under that penalty.
That's interesting, Jimmy. Mohawk or Circus Maximus?
I think Mohawk might probably go for something like the Prix de Jockey Club or something. I think Circus Maximus is seen as more of a derby type. It certainly looked that way. Mohawk looked a threat at one stage, but when it came to grinding it out, Circus Maximus showed the greater stamina. I think he's quite a big price for the Derby Mads, actually.
What price have you been as?
Mohawk or Circus?
Circus Maximus.
Oh, Circus is 16 from 25, and I must just say that my friend who works for a rival firm, Dave Lowe, was very, very taken with Circus Maximus. So 16-1 could be a big price.
Yeah, I mean, there's still plenty of value in that, I'd say, because he's got good form. He was fourth in the Vertemps Futurity behind Magna Grecia. That form's working out really well. He wasn't beaten far that day. So, yeah, he's definitely in the mix.
Mm. And if we move on to Ascot then, at the weekend, who were we on in the Victoria Cup? How did your selection figure, Jimmy?
I was on Ripoff and Presidential. He were both a bit disappointing, particularly Presidential. I never got a run for
Ripoff
my money.
Ripoff ran all right, didn't he? I think he finished fifth in the end.
Yeah, well, Ripoff always runs well.
Does awfully well at Ascot.
Yeah, I mean, he's absolutely nailed on certainty each time he runs in those big handicaps. But no, I was never hopeful of getting anywhere near that when I was watching it.
Kate Byron, Robbie.
Yeah,
you can take another step up this season?
Certainly, yeah. I spoke to Roger Behrendt at the start of the season and he thought he had a very big handicap in him at the start of the campaign. I thought the ground might have gone against him slightly at Ascot, but he's handled it well. If it's a bit quicker, he might have another big handicap in him off perhaps a £7 sort of higher mark, and he can certainly develop into a group horse in the fullness of time, I'd say. Group targets will probably beckon further down the line for this horse.
Any in behind that took your eye? Kinran is just so frustrating, isn't he? You'd avoid him for win purposes, I think, in one of these handicaps, but surely
probably
he's
going to get
one.
Probably needs an extra furlong, I'd say, Kinran. He ran really well.
Yeah.
Ran really well. The winner deserved to get that because he's been knocking on the door so many times. He's another one, like Ripoff, who loves Ascot.
Mm.
And he finally got his nose in front.
Yeah, great profile. What of the classic trials at Lingfield? John Gosden had Anna Perna and Aidan O'Brien with Anthony Van Dyck. Aidan O'Brien, he's monopolising these trials at the moment. And Anthony Van Dyck was really impressive, Robbie. Question marks about the trip.
Yeah, I did touch upon Anthony Van Dyck earlier. I was really taken by this. I couldn't have had him on my mind over that trip, on that ground, on his seasonal return. There's a real lack of stamina on the dam side, pedigree-wise, but he's very much put those doubts to bed with that performance. I could see him being potentially a fair enough price in the Derby. I don't know exactly what he's beaten, but the manner in which he did it was very impressive to me.
Yeah, Binners, you know I'm going to come to you next. What price on Anthony Van Dyck?
Well, he's 5-1 third favourite now, Maddie. The only two ahead of him, Sir Dragonette and Too Darn Hot, who we'll hopefully see in the Dante Stakes later in the week. And then we go Broom at 6-1, but we'll talk about him in a minute, I'm sure.
We will, and we'll also talk about York's Dante meeting too after the break. But let's stick to Lingfield for now. Jimmy, Anthony Van Dyck, do you think he's at top of Ballydoyle's list now?
He'd be my number one horse for Ballydoyle, definitely. I was crossing myself on Saturday. I mean, he was a decent price
Pretty
in the
badly,
end.
Didn't he?
Got sucked into looking for each way value in the race against him. But, I mean, I looked at his pedigree, I didn't think he'd stay. But actually, if you watched his runs last season, every time you saw him, you felt, well, he needed further.
Mm.
And you watched the race on Saturday, it all makes sense. He just cruised through, very, very happy at the distance, stayed it, no problem. I mean, we know how good he is. You know, his rating of 118, that's good enough to win two of the last three derbies with that sort of rating. He's high class. I think he'll improve a lot for that. There were mutterings that, you know, he didn't have the best preparation for Saturday. So I think he'll be banging the mix at Epsom. I really do.
And we've mentioned Medi. What about Anna Perna? John Gosden's got a whole handful of fillies. He's got Sparkle Roll running in the Musidora, who we'll talk about.
Watching that race, I thought she was a good winner of a poor trial. But actually, if you look at the time, I mean, it's only half a second slower than the Derby trial, which was a pretty good trial in its own right. I think she could be quite interesting. She's around about 10-1, I think, or something for the Oaks. I think she could be quite a bit of value there. I mean, she was pretty green, but she did handle the bend well at Lingfield, so that's a good sign for Epsom. She's definitely a contender.
Okay, Binners, what price is Annapurna? Just clarify.
Yeah, no, Jimmy's correct, 10-1, and he's also correct. Punters seem to quite like her. We went 16 from 33 immediately after the Lingfield race, and she's contracted into 10-1. So Graham Dench was quite complimentary about her in your newspaper yesterday. So perhaps that's one of the reasons.
Perhaps it is, Robbie. I mean, you can look at the field and crab perhaps the horses behind, but at the end of the day, she looked good when she was winning.
Exactly, she's got the form in the book now. I'd find it tough to split her and Medaille. Medaille, obviously, a slightly shorter price in the betting, so that would make Annapurna slightly more interesting. I'm still really sort of waiting for the fillies division to truly come alive. And the most impressive performance of the season for me has been Hermosa and the Guineas. But yeah, we'll learn a bit more on the Musadora later this week.
Okay, some people we were talking about earlier that maybe she might not go. They might go to the Irish 1,000 guineas with Hermosa, which seems bizarre considering she's got such a good staying pedigree.
Yeah, Full Sister Hydrangea, that would... I'm not sure if that necessarily be the right move. But
I do think they like Pink Dogwood.
Yeah.
I think she's really smart, I think.
Yeah, well, we'll soon see. All is to become clear anyway. What about Leopardstown and Longchamp Broom? Another Aidan O'Brien trial winner. He looks uncomplicated. He looks a strong stayer, Jimmy. He looks like he'd handle Epsom just fine.
Yeah, whether he'd be good enough, though, I'm not sure. I was a bit underwhelmed.
Lacking a bit of the wow factor?
Definitely lacking the wow factor on Saturday. He was more impressive than the Bally Sacks, but it was softer ground then. I mean, the one thing you can say is he stays well. So I don't think the trip would be a problem for him at Epsom. But no, I was more impressed with the other trial winners Aidan had last week.
Yeah, maybe more of a stayer, Robbie.
I'd very much echo that, yeah. Maybe he could be a ledger horse in time, but I was expecting him to win that Derrinstown much easier than he did, to be honest. It looked at one point that his stablemate Blenheim Palace, who was rated far inferior, was actually going to see out the trip. He won the Bally Sacks by 8 lengths. He's only got home by about 2.5 this time. I think he's got a bit to find if he's going to throw his hat into the Derby ring, truly. But he's a good horse going forward, and yeah, potentially step up and trip further might suit.
Okay, and Binners, we'll go over to you. How impressed were you with Broom?
I was really impressed, Maddie. Jimmy said he did lack the well factor on Saturday. I agree with that, as the race was run on Sunday. But we cut him to 6-1 from 8-1 for the big one.
Okay, and what about the action elsewhere, guys? Le Patriot, he won at Haydock, so did Shababi and Safe Voyage, those two on the flat, and then we had other races at Ascot and Leopardstown as well. Some other good trials there. Any notebook horses among them, Robbie?
Well, it's kind of obvious, but I thought Saloon was quite impressive in the Buckhound Stakes. The bit of juice in the ground helped. I was actually surprised he was as big as 4-6. I thought he'd be far shorter in the betting than that. Yeah, it looks like he's going to go on to the Coronation Cup. He's been a horse who's been quite unlucky. He's been highly tried.
Not a winning, has he, bless him?
No, he's not, but he's running something like 8 Group 1s in the last couple of years. It'd be nice to see him to nick maybe a soft one. But yeah, this was a deserved victory, and he's a genuine Group 2 horse who could maybe find a soft alternative at Group 1 level.
Yeah, not sure the Coronation Cup will be it, but it'd be good to see him run another big race in that after finishing second to Cracksman last year. Jimmy, any other thoughts on Haydock, Ascot, anywhere over the weekend? Any
I like the winner of the opener at Ascot, Sextant.
Yes.
Drifted like a barge beforehand, but
wasn't he?
What a nice looking horse he is. I mean, he must have been very unruly for them to geld him. Lovely big stride he's got on him. And he'll be going to Royal Ascot. I mean, I think on better ground you'll see a better horse too, because I think they were obviously quite concerned beforehand, as well as it being his first run, about the surface being a bit too soft for him. But he had no problem with it at all. Showed a real good turn of foot off a smart pace. Like him.
Yeah, huge horse that. I mean, I sort of looked at some of his replays from last season and thought he looked a bit of a boy, and maybe he needed an attitude change.
Well, I think the gelding operation definitely helped him. He looked very professional.
And what of Persian King in the French 2000 guineas then? He was pretty impressive. He seemed to handle the ground okay.
Handle it fine. I mean, he's a better horse on better ground.
He
was the best horse in the race. I expected him to win. I mean, the one concern was, because it was very soft, you know, if it got into a bit of a war towards the end, what would he find? But he toughed it out, picked up well. I think you have to say he's the best three-year-old colt in Europe at the moment. He's beaten Magna Grecia already. Two Darn Hots just coming back. Looking forward to seeing him step up in trip. to a mile and a quarter for the Prix de Jockey Club, which I think you'll get.
Yeah, Robbie, I'm a huge fan of this lad.
Certainly are. Yeah. I've been waxing lyrical about this horse ever since he was a juvenile. Yeah, it'd be nice to see him in Britain after this now, and slightly maybe stepped up in trip on better ground.
Some people mentioned the Judmont.
I saw a bit of that on Twitter as well.
Be good, wouldn't it?
That'd surely suit, wouldn't it? A step up in trip would probably be on the horizon now. I was keen to oppose him on heavy ground because Connections have always said that that's not the key to him, but he's ground it out well. San Donato running a massive race for the informed Roger Varian in third as well. It's good to see for the Brits.
Yeah, indeed. And what of Castle Lady winning the 1,000 guineas? A bit more of an open race.
I wouldn't have a massive amount to say about this. I wouldn't have a huge knowledge of the French fillies. East ran well in third. She'd have a big campaign, I'm sure, on her first run back. Maybe didn't quite pan out as it could have done, but I'll be keeping her on side wherever she goes this season in Britain.
Yeah, maybe I think it could be a bit of a muddling renewal, that, Jimmy.
Yeah, it tends to be. Need to examine it a few more times, actually. She looks a smart horse, Castle Lady.
She's unbeaten,
yeah. These fillies, particularly over a mile, I mean, there really isn't much between them. So it could just be a case, you know, whatever trainer's in good form, you know, ground and so on, which one comes out best on the day. But she did it well enough.
Binners, were you swanning about in France?
Sadly not, Maddie. No, watched that one from home. I was at Ascot on Saturday, though, luckily. There was a nice two-year-old one for Charlie Appleby called Expressionist that we put into the Norfolk at 12-1, although I'd advise listeners to hold off on that one yet because the horse could go for the Coventry. Castle Lady, we were 12-1 about that one for the Coronation Stakes. Dave Alton in your newspaper described that as a price that borders on insult, and we're now 6-1 possibly as a result of Dave.
Yeah, well, we'll see Dave back on the podcast very soon, I'm sure. Good stuff from him there. We'll take a quick break now before we have a look at York's Dante meeting this week.
What's my horse's handicap? The fact that you're backing him? Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast. As promised, we're going to talk about York now. Plenty to get excited about this week, namely the Dante, which is on Thursday. Can't wait for that. But it starts on Wednesday. We've got the Clipper Logistics, nice grade two to get us started. Invincible Army Jimmy, he looked a bit of an in and out sprinter last year, but he looked really good in his comeback, and maybe this season he can make his mark.
Yeah, he could do. My one concern about him will be the drying ground on Wednesday. I mean, it does look with the forecast as if we really aren't going to get any rain at all this week. He'd probably prefer a little bit of cut in the ground. I have to say, I really didn't like many at the head of the market in this race. Brando's got a wretched record at this meeting. Limato really doesn't tend to come right until later on in the summer. So I've just had a look at some of the course and distance winners, really, and see which ones
You're
might improve.
Steal my thunder here. I'm really keen on one, but go for it.
Well, my one is Major Jumbo.
Yes, and mine.
Oh, brilliant.
Big
well,
fan. Take
yeah,
it away.
I mean, he's going in the right direction. As I said, he's a course and distance winner. Got form on the Naismar. And he stepped up well into group company last time when third in the Palace House. His best form tends to be over 6 furlongs. So if he can move forward from that, yeah, he's an each-way contender.
Yeah, it was a good run behind Invincible Army first time out as well. Binners, I think you were 14-1 Major Jumbo, weren't you?
Yeah, Major Jumbo's in there at 14-1.
Very
quite
nice
right, Maddie.
Price,
very nice price, and no doubt it will contract. Invincible Army at 2-1, Maddie, then Brando 4-1 with Limato, 11-2 Yafta, 7 projection, and it's 14 bar including your Major Jumbo.
How do we sum up these sprinters, Robbie?
A modest bunch. Well, that's a bit harsh on Brando and Limato, really, isn't it? Brando's already...
They had their best days, though.
Brando's a bit disappointed he didn't win the Abundant Stakes. He won it the last 2 years, and I thought he'd hack up in that. He is the classiest horse in the race, and he was probably the one I thought was slightly overpriced of the market principles, but quite a compelling case made about Major Jumbo. He had Sergei Prokofiev in behind in that Palace House as well, and that's a horse I absolutely love as a sprinter this season. I'll probably just about stick to Brando. He is 7. There's a doubt if he's maybe regressing, but I'd be certainly looking to take on Invincible Army at the top of the betting.
Okay, let's move on to the Musidora then. Binners, take away the betting for this one. I presume Sparkle Roll is towards the head of your market.
Yep, Sparkle Roll, ahead, 5-2 Manny, 7-2 Sandshare, 9-2 Francolina, 13-2 Norsha, 8-1 in title, and it's 9-1 the rest.
Yeah, I've got my eye firmly on Sea of Faith, who finished behind Sparkle Roll at Sandown last time, as are, I'm sure, many others, Jimmy. But I know Ashim Murphy thinks a lot of this grey filly, and she looked good last time.
Well, she's certainly a nice-looking filly. King Power didn't really advertise the form, did she, at Lingfield? She was well stuffed. I mean, she probably didn't like the ground that much, but she was well beaten. If you take it literally, you think Sparkle Roll is going to win this, then what do you think of Annapurna? I think she might be a bit short. Therefore, I'm going to look at one of the more exposed types, because none of the other sexier types really do it for me. Swift Rose had some good form in Maydown against the Colts, and Sybin Soror is in really good form at the moment. So she'll like the ground. She is a bit exposed, as I said, but with a lot of the unexposed types not really doing it for me, I'll take a chance on her.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree with you to an extent. There seems to have been a lot of noise about this Francolina, who was a non-runner on Lingfield,
Got a beautiful pedigree and has been well talked up. I mean, she's got lots of fine...
She looked a bit slow on debut to me.
Well, she's got to step up hugely from that.
Yeah, hugely. Indeed. Robbie, what do you think?
Yeah, probably a watching brief for me. I was just interested to see how Entitled gets on, a half-sister to Enable.
Yes.
Which is a fine pedigree. I'll be sitting it out. It'll be certainly... We'll learn something. It'll have a dramatic impact on the Oaks market, I'm sure. But, yeah, one to enjoy with the view to the future.
OK, and on Thursday, the Middleton takes us before the Dante. Will it happen for Andrew Lloyd Webber? Will he have a really nice double there with Larty Dar before he looks forward to Too Darn Hot in another Derby trial? This filly, she's been fragile, as is the case with a lot of her family, but she's got ability, Jimmy.
Oh, she's got loads of ability. And she was very impressive in the Galtras at this course last season, before going on to finish second in the St. Ledger against the boys. So, no, I mean, she's very classy indeed. I mean, if she's at her best, she'll win this. First time out, though, and she's dropping back in trip. So there is a chance that she could be vulnerable. If there are enough runners, I think to finish in the first two, Nialetti, last time I saw, was around about the 6-1 mark. Mm-hmm. I think that's too big. I thought she ran a cracking race in the Dahlia Stakes first time out. Clearly not handling the track at all. So I'm expecting improvement. And we know she gets this trip because she was narrowly beaten in a Group 1 in Italy over this distance. So I can see her running really well and possibly shaking up the favourite.
Mm, indeed, interesting. Binners, I mean, I'm sure Larty Dar's bound to be very popular. She's got the right connections, hasn't she?
Yeah, interestingly, I was going to come up with Nialetti. I thought 6-1 was big as long as there's two to be placed. But Larty Dar, 2-1 on. Raw Dar 5-1, Nialetti 6-1, Mrs. Sippy 13-2, Sun Maiden 10-1, and it's 25-1 Queen of Time.
Can you see her be beaten?
Yeah, the opposition seems quite weak to me. This should be a formality for Larty Dar. Third to Magical at Ascot, didn't stay the 1 mile 6, probably, in the ledger behind Kew Gardens.
She looked to be sticking on all right, I think.
Not sure.
Okay, fair enough.
Not sure myself, but... 1 mile 4 would be an ideal trip, I'd say.
Rest of the season, should have too much class. Can she go?
She looks a Group 1 winner for sure later in the season. Something like target serve. She'll be going for the Yorkshire Oaks again, I'm sure. I'd like to think that she'll be dining at the top table once more.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see some more of her. That would be for sure. The same applies to Too Darn Hot, unbeaten champion juvenile in the Dante. First off, Binners, what's the market been like? Has there been much confidence behind him on his seasonal reappearance?
Well, it hasn't really hotted up yet, Maddie. I guess we're going to wait and see the final decks. But, looking at the betting now, it really is a cracking heat. Too Darn Hot, 7-4 favourite. Japan, 3-1. Aidan O'Brien cleaning up in all the trials. 9-2 Surfman. That one has been really, really warm, Maddie. It was 8-1 a couple of days. He's into 9-2 now on the back of a nice gallop in Newmarket, apparently. Telecaster for Huey Morrison, 11-2. 6-1 Line of Duty, who's a good horse, as you guys will just come to explain, and it's 16-1 Bar.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Telecaster, but no doubt he's got to improve to win this. Jimmy, let's start off with Too Darn Hot. You think this trip will be a worry for any reason?
No, I've always expected him to stay further than a mile, so I would be surprised if he doesn't get this distance. Last season, he was the best colt around, no question about that. He was fantastic.
On a par with Frankel, some were saying.
Well, yeah, well, I wouldn't have gone that far, but I mean, he was very good. If ever a time he's going to be vulnerable, this could be the day. I mean, he was meant to run a month ago, wasn't he, in the Greenham?
Yep.
He had to miss that, into this splint bone problem, and because of time off, he had to miss the Guineas as well. So he's coming into this on the back of a setback. It's quite a hot race. He's stepping up 3 furlongs in trips.
So too is Japan as well.
Yep.
He's not had a good prep.
No, he hasn't had a good prep either. But I'm going to come on to Aidan O'Brien's pair in this race because we were talking about what tremendous form he's been in.
Mm.
And I think he's had 8 horses in the last week running Derby trials. I don't think there's been a horse from another yard that's beaten any of them. He had the first two in the Vars, first two in the D.
Wow.
Anthony Van Dyke won the Lingfield Derby trial, and then he had the first three home in the Darren Stand. So extraordinary. Unbeatable he's been in the last week. So I think, therefore, with him being in such good form, you've got to be interested in Japan.
Mm.
But I mean, call me mad, but I think the horse who's a huge price in this is Western Australia, who's arguably got a better piece of form in the book than Japan when he was a length third to Magna Graecia and the Vertex Futurity. Now, there are two negatives to him. I mean, one is he might be setting the pace here, but I'm not too concerned about that. Aidan O'Brien's horses can make all. We saw that with Hermosa and the 1,000 Guineas, and Western Australia himself made the pace in the Futurity and ran very well. I mean, the other problem is, of course, he didn't run well first time up in the field and
could have needed it badly, couldn't he?
Well, a lot of Aidan O'Brien's horses do in April, and they improve pounds for their next run. So, I mean, what price have you got him at, Binners? I mean, he's outside of the field, isn't he?
Well, yeah, we've got him as 33-1, Jim, and now you've made such a good case for him. I'm just looking at your page on the website, Top Speed and Racing Post rating. He's actually above Japan.
There we go. You have made a really convincing case from there.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will be listening to this and still thinking he's completely mad. What's he talking about?
I don't think so. What do you think, Bobby?
If I'm not mistaken, though, wasn't he beaten Dundalk in March, though?
He's been beaten quite a few times, Robbie. I think he's only won once, but he has got some very good pieces of form. I think he was also fourth to Persian King in the Autumn Stakes at Newmarket. I'm not sure he handles that track that well anyway. So... I think he's too big, particularly with that piece of form in the Futurity. I think 33-1's a price which is far too big for a yard that is absolutely flying at the moment.
Yeah, Robbie,
agreed, that is too big a price.
Let's bring Line of Duty into it. What do you make of him? Breeders' Cup winner. He's not had any problems like the rest of them, by all accounts.
He's not, has he? The first run back, wasn't it? He wasn't the one I came down on, though. Too darn hot. It wouldn't be beyond the realms of possibility he doesn't even turn up at the last minute as well. I think that's something to bear in mind.
Yeah.
Japan, slightly overhyped, perhaps.
He was never Aidan O'Brien's first string last year, was he?
Not last year, no, but over the winter it's been all Japan this.
He's been the talking horse in the winter, hasn't
Japan
he?
That, hasn't it?
Yeah.
You have to take note of that, but I came down on Telecaster, actually, for Hugh Morrison.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's this wonderful stat about O'Brien absolutely mopping up in the trials, even with the place horses is a concern. But he has had his form franked behind Bangkok at Doncaster. Absolutely hacked up by 9 lengths at Windsor. Looks an absolute monster. And at the prices, he'd be the way I'm looking.
Yeah, a couple of horses have come out of that Windsor run and won as well. One at Chester, I think, in the week. So, yeah, I know Hugh Morrison said he's the best middle distance colt he's ever trained. I'm not sure how many middle distance colts he's had on his hands, but it's a big...
staying.
Big trainer, yeah, big confidence boost if you like him. Anyway, let's move on to the Yorkshire Cup, which is on Friday, and the return of Stradivarius. Jimmy, could he be vulnerable in any way this season?
This season, yeah, he could be. There are quite a few occasions when I was against him last season. And actually, in the race at Ascot, the long distance cup, I thought he might have been slightly lucky to actually win that. I was on Thomas Hobson that day, who didn't get the run of the race like Stradivarius did, put it that way.
Mm.
I think he'll win this because even with the penalty, I mean, he's 2 from 2 at York. I can't see amongst the contenders what's really going to threaten him.
Later on in the season, do you think he could be?
Later on in the season, yeah. I mean, quite possibly. I mean, he was consistent last year, consistently good. He wasn't dazzling. Maybe this was probably the best performance. This was probably the best performance last season when he was one first time out here in the Yorkshire Cup. But I think he'll struggle to repeat what he did last season. I mean, he's a fantastically admirable horse, just deadly consistent, keeps putting up the same performance time after time. But he's not winning by much. The only horse who I thought might trouble in here was possibly DXB, but he ran very badly at York when he was well fancied a couple of years ago. I'm not certain how much he likes his track on that evidence.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm going to be sticking with Stradivarius.
Are you quite as pessimistic?
Yeah, he's gone to the well a lot, hasn't he, Stradivarius?
He's failed to really sort of wow me, but I guess every horse can't do that.
Some horses don't, yeah. I mean, you have a soft spot for plenty of horses that might surprise
people. Oh, okay.
Sounds like a bit of a dig, doesn't it? Well, it wasn't intended to be. The horse which interested me was Ispolini for Charlie Appleby. Kept fit over the winter in Dubai. Keeps improving. Buick's jocked up. I just want to be taken on Stradivarius. If Capri wasn't so underwhelming on his comeback in the vintage crop, then I'd probably be all over him. But he was really flat then.
Yeah, he needs to sort of do it now, doesn't
got
he?
A lot to, well, you can forgive any horse one run. But it'd take a leap of faith to support this horse. Maybe there might be a change in thinking at Ballydoyle where they might think, hang on, let's step Kew Gardens up and trip and make him the cop horse.
Perhaps, yeah.
Ispolini would be the way I'm looking to take on the Fav here.
Okay, Binner's just run us through that market.
Yeah, 4-5 Stradivarius. I agree with the lads. I think he's a bit too short. 5-1 Capri, 7-1 DXB, 8-1 Ispolini. 10-1 Southern France, and it's 14-1 bar.
Yeah, he's going to have more on his plate this season, or at least I hope so, with the likes of Cross Counter et al. Coming through. And the week rolls around to Saturday, where the top-class action just doesn't stop. We've got the Group 1 Lockinge at Newbury, which sees the return of the Queen of the North, Lawrence. She's going to take on Aidan O'Brien's Librevido, who looked a bit of an eye-catcher last time out. Magical's in there as well, although I'm not too sure she's going to run. Tassel's Gold Cup could be next for her, Binus. Has there been any market movement at this stage?
Fairly quiet, Maddie. You know, like, it's at the weekend. We've had Jesper and York, but a lot of people looking forward to the race, and Lauren's coming down. She looks to set a good standard. We've got the French, Aidan O'Brien's Librevido in as 3-1 favourite. Then it's 9-2 Lauren's, 5-1 Beat Bank, 7-1 Sharjah Bridge, 8 Lord Bitters and Mutashri, and it's 10-1 the rest.
Yeah, going to be a good race this, and we're going to find out a lot. Lauren's, fan or not a fan, Robbie? She seemed a bit Marmite last season.
I don't know how Lawrence can be a Marmite, really.
No?
Awfully likable, yeah.
She is, yeah.
Great attitude. That day she won at Leopardstown when she beat Alpha Centauri. That was absolutely crazy.
Some people in the office haven't warmed to her quite as much, but I'm with you. I think she's really
I'd like to find those people and change their way of thinking.
I promise you, I'm a fan of Lawrence as well.
You're scared.
Having said that, though, I didn't want to back her here first time up. I've actually done a bit of dutching. I've backed Librevido Antipost at 13-2, come in a little bit.
Nice.
And Regal Reality as well for Michael Stout. Just touch on Librevido. I think this is a horse that could make a few people a few quid this year. I was really taken by his comeback run in the Gladness Stakes over behind a Race Fit Imaging over 7 furlongs. Step up to a mile will suit.
Just to prep that run, wasn't
just it? Yeah, exactly. He's making eye-catching late headway. He looks Ballydoyle's mile horse this season, and this division for the last few years has been kind of suspect. One at a bigger price, Regal Reality, I took a bit of 25s.
I think he wants good ground, doesn't he, which he's probably going to get if Jimmy's
exactly right. That should be ideal. He'll probably step up in tripping time, but he wasn't beaten far behind Charge the Bridge and Beat the Bank, far more experienced horses in the Bet365 mile fire, but beaten about a length by those pair. Michael Stout is just the kind of trainer that just keeps plugging away with these horses, extracting more improvement, and I could see him. He probably won't have the class to win at this stage. He might run a big race, enter the frame. He could be a Group 1 campaigner for the rest of the season.
I like those selections very much. Jimmy, what do you think of them? You've got to like Lawrence, that's for sure, otherwise you'll be in trouble.
You have to like Lawrence. Have to now. I will be backing Lord Glitters. He's definitely one horse I'll go with.
Big fan of him.
Yeah, big fan of him, very consistent. He seems to be improving. Under David O'Meara's care. And hopefully this stiff mile at Newbury will suit him. He ran a cracking race at Maidan. That was really, really good. And he seems to be not bothered about what the ground is, whether it's soft or quick. He seems to run just as well. I think the key to him is a fast pace, and if he gets that, he could be banging the mix.
He's one of those, isn't he? Hold up horse. I think I backed him in the Sussex Stakes last year, and he came with that sort of late run, but didn't quite get there. So he can be a bit frustrating, but
can be, yeah.
He's got ability, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll go for a break now, and then we'll talk about some of the midweek action coming up.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this final instalment of the Monday Postcast. We're going to have a look at the midweek racing now. Tomorrow, there's racing at Beverley, Chepstow, Tremor, Sedgefield, Killarney, Wincanton, Southall. Wednesday is York, as we mentioned previously, Yarmouth, Newton Abbot, Bath, Punchestown, Perth. Thursday is Salisbury, York, Perth, Fontwell, Newmarket, Clonmel. Friday is York, Newmarket, Newbury, Aintree and Hamilton. Jimmy, where have you been looking at this week?
Oh, I've been looking at York. Some really good races on the undercard all three
great
days.
Great handicaps, isn't
there? Yeah, great handicaps. I love them at York. I mean, it's a great track. One in the last race on Thursday at 5:05, the Cashel Man, Nicky Henderson horse, heads the weights. Bit of a character. Now, you'll know the Cashel Man because he was narrowly beaten by a favourite horse at yours over hurdles at Kempton.
Indeed.
Reserve Tank. And he's since run on the flat and run very well when fourth at Newbury last time behind Cor Blimey. Now, that form has worked out. The second and the third ran very well at Chester last week. Coeur de Leon, who was third at Newbury winning and second at Newbury winning, and Who Dares Wins, who was third at Newbury, he was second in the Chester Cup. So the form's got a boost. The Cashel Man, he'll be happier on this better ground. And I think he's got a decent each-way chance. He's not on a bad mark.
I like the sound of that very much. It's not just because you mentioned Reserve Tank. Binners, well done with a brilliant selection last week. Didn't win, but was very close. What have you got for us this time around?
Well, I've got one at Beverley on Tuesday afternoon, Maddie, an extended mile handicap, the 350. I like a bit of northern grassroots racing. Tim Easterby's Storm Ahead. This fellow seems to have been knocking on the door. He was second in over course and distance a week ago. He's one of those horses that's been given a chance by the handicapper.
Fabulous, and I'm not ignoring Robbie, don't worry. He's just keeping his powder dry very shrewdly for the nap, which we'll go on to now.
This will not be beaten.
Go on then, Robbie, take
it
away.
I've got one for you. A strategy I always like this kind of year is trying to pick out really well-bred Ballydoyle horses who have not done anything as juveniles and end up having free runs but having lowly handicap marks. And when they're entering handicaps, they can have stones in hand on the breeding. The horse in question is Carefully in the 6:50 at Killarney on Tuesday by Warfront out of Marvellous, who is a full sister to Glen Eagles and Happily. This filly's rated 63. She's fourth and a maiden at Dundalk on her return in April. The yard is starting to fire a bit more. On that pedigree, she has to be winning this and she'll be carrying my cash.
Yeah, marvellous classic winner in her own right, wasn't she as well?
Indeed.
That's bound to be a popular selection. Jimmy?
I'm going to go for my old favourite, Fiddux, who's
blimey.
Entered at Aintree on Friday at 6:40. Now, he's becoming a bit of a cliff horse for me, I must
a
admit.
A bit!
But he did run very well last time at Cheltenham at a decent price too. I hope you were all on each way because I think he was about 25-1 or something. And he proved he stayed the distance that day. Now, the form has since been boosted because the winner of that was Le Patriot, who has since won the Swinton Hurdle last Saturday off top weight. So now Fiddux has proved that he's got this 2-mile-4 distance. I'm expecting a decent run from at Aintree. The flatter track should suit as well, I hope.
Excellent. And Binners, finally over to you.
Takes a little bit of explaining this one, Maddie. It's called Story of Light, Charlie Appleby. It's an unraced 2-year-old. The reason I went for it was entered in the 5-furlong novice at Ascot at York this Wednesday. It's not going to be running. It was entered in this in the Wednesday race together with Expressionist, who won at Ascot on Saturday. And this race, the Wednesday race, is more valuable. So I thought he must be decent. Anyway, he's got two entries. Thursday, 4:35, York. That looks unlikely due to jockey bookings. But he's also entered at Newbury, Friday, 2:45, and he is Charlie Appleby's only entry in that race. So possibly he'll be at Newbury on Friday.
I like that. Shrewd thinking there from Binners. That's all we've got time for on today's postcast. Thanks for joining us. I'll see you on Friday for the tipping postcast. We'll have a look at the weekend cards in more detail then. Please make sure to rate, review and subscribe as always, and we'll see you soon.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.